In the conflict and turmoil of the world, we gather together to create hope. In the face of life's struggles, we are called to practice love. In times of doubt and sadness, we look for a way to joy. In the busyness of our lives, we seek a place of peace. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of information about life at FCC Natick. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you, especially today when they are in charge of worship. We have the playground down front, which this morning is full of shepherds and angels. We have lovingly staffed nursery care, and we have the pageant this morning during worship. We are in the season of Advent, so a few more announcements related to this time of year. First is we are taking orders for poinsettias for folks to have in worship on the fourth Sunday of Advent as well as Christmas Eve. For those in person, poinsettia orders will be taken today after worship outside in the upper narthex. You can also contact the church office, especially if you're at home. See more information in the bulletin and the link. This coming weekend is Natick's Sound and Spirit Concert. It's going to be held at FCC Natick for the first time this year, Friday night and Saturday afternoon, right here in the sanctuary. This is the first public rental of the space since the sanctuary reopened from the renovation. So this is feeling like a big deal. A lot of people have put a lot of work into it. And if you're free this Friday or Saturday, come check out Sound and Spirit. I've heard the rehearsals, it's awesome. And then next Sunday, December 15th at 5 p.m., is the community vigil in this space. We'll be thinking about those who are living with addiction, those who have lost their lives to addiction. That's next Sunday at 5 o'clock. My friends, we gather in the season of Advent. In the Christian tradition, this is the start of a new year, a moment of beginning. And at a moment of beginning, it can be helpful to set an intention. What do you hope to bring to life in this time? Maybe the intention is to truly know that you are not alone. Like Mary and Joseph, we help each other on the journey. I invite you to set an intention for this hour ahead. Maybe it's even just to like ride the wave of chaos that we will be experiencing in this worship service this morning. So I invite you to just breathe deeply. Be fully present in this time and place. Kirsten.
Good morning. I'm Kirsten. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, may there be room for peace in our hearts. When all around us there is noise and chaos, may there be peace in our hearts. When we get sucked into comparing ourselves to others, may there be room for peace in our hearts. When our mind gets stuck on woulda, coulda, shoulda, may there be room for peace in our hearts. Let's clear out space to welcome the living God. Our opening hymn is Hope is a Star, number 611.
Thank you. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, the time of remembering that God comes to us in amazing ways, including through the birth of a tiny, helpless child. With this Advent wreath, we prepare for God to come once again. The round shape of the wreath reminds us of the unbroken love of God. The green branches speak of new life found in relationship with God. And the candles proclaim the light that God brings into our lives. This morning, we light the second candle in our Advent wreath. This is the candle of peace. Today, peace seems terribly elusive as our LGBTQIA+ siblings face oppression, as neighbors judge each other rather than work towards understanding, as families are broken apart by addiction or abuse.
But God has a peace to bring into each of our hearts, a peace that gives us strength and comfort and hope, a peace that cannot be driven away by grief or fear or shame. And God has a peace to bring into the world, a peace that can unite all people, transform the cosmos. God told us how to help create that peace, love one another. And so God calls us to light a candle of peace, as a reminder that God's peace is stronger than the world's fear. And so we breathe in that peace, let our hearts fill with hope, believe in the possibility of joy, and practice living with love. As we light the Advent wreath, let us join together in the verse of Hope is a Star in your bulletin and on the screen.
Sharing God's peace, not an easy peace, not an insignificant peace, not a half-hearted peace, but the peace of Christ that's with us now. Let us share this peace with one another, my friends, both in this space and online. For this peace is not bound by space or time. And each time we connect with one another, peace grows. Then we'll join together in our song of celebration. The peace of God be with you. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear these familiar words. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
According to the Gospel of Luke, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world shall be enrolled, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. That's how Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, home of Joseph's ancestors, and how Jesus was born in the city of David. It's not that Caesar Augustus really cared about the thousands of travelers on the roads to their hometowns. They were little more than tax-paying units in one of history's most complicated tax systems. Every once in a while, Rome called everyone home to organize these all-important tax rolls. Jesus was born when the world was at peace. It was a Roman peace ensured by Roman soldiers. The benefit was that even in the most humble of places, people had a few luxuries and traveled in when and where they wanted. For Rome, it meant they could continue to build their straight roads and soaring aqueducts, marble buildings, and spacious public plazas. The financial burden on the poor living in far provinces had been that it was conquered by war and oppression. That's what sent Mary and Joseph on a 90-mile journey to Bethlehem, and what a journey it was. Our young couple hopped into their brand new Ford convertible, packed a luscious picnic, and turned up the latest songs on the radio and headed out for an afternoon of... Wait, that doesn't sound right. Let's back up and tell the story the right way. Actually, our young couple were about to meet some interesting people and have the adventure of a lifetime.
Shalom, friends. Staying in town long? Come on over to the Bethlehem Inn. We are serving fatted calf as our evening special. 5 shekels for the night and 1 shekel for the meal. Bring the family.
Oh, look, here comes Bethlehem's innkeeper. This is a very important person in tiny Bethlehem. The only public inn where travelers can get a good night's rest, a meal, and a hot bath is right here.
All appears to be in perfect order. My staff has been working diligently to accommodate every guest this evening. I have one final checklist, and then we will wait for the first people to arrive. Pillows? Check. Towels? Check. Blankets? Check. Hot water? Check. Beds? Check. Food? Check. I proclaim myself ready in every way. Oh, the money I will make this evening! I am counting it already. It will pay for the finest of treasure. I will hang silk draperies on the windows. I will serve delicate food on silver platters. I will buy slippers for the feet of every guest and place a little piece of chocolate on every soft pillow. Yes, I will. I will be known as the innkeeper to the stars. Perfect hotel for every situation. Run by the perfect host. That's me. Let the games begin. Thank you, Caesar Augustus, for your timely census. You make money, I make money. It's a match made in heaven.
No. Oh, we finally made it. Is this Bethlehem Inn? The Potter sent us in this direction.
Indeed it is. We have many excellent rooms.
We have very sleepy children with us. Do you have everything we need? Is there a quiet place to feed them? Do you have soft music and cool pillows?
Please tell us there's a room at the inn.
Why, certainly there is a room in the inn. There is always a room in the inn. Trust me, I have the best beds in town. I have little toys they can enjoy. I have the softest foods for their little tummies.
Thank God for your kindness, innkeeper. We have traveled from many places far to sign our names and please the Roman government. We are so sleepy and need a place to rest.
No problem. I sleep like a baby all night.
People without a baby usually say they sleep like a baby.
Now, no complaining. We promise we'll keep smiling until we find a bed and a bath and a good meal. There is a bed, a bath, and a good meal here, right?
Of course, Fred. Here are some pillows. Well, I just go check on something.
Wait, innkeeper, wait. We still need a broom. Wait. Okay, now we're in the Bethlehem Inn all alone. Don't worry. All right, just count the shekels and get the payment ready. All right, don't worry, guys. We're going to find some nice, soft, cool pillows to lay our heads on.
On your way to your warm, comfortable homes. No need of my help in any way.
Baby, it's cold outside. We're weary travelers in need of 5 comfortable rooms.
We're tired.
We need meals for all of us.
We're hungry.
We need baths and warm robes for all those tired, hungry children.
Have to give us rooms. Ready? Say cheese.
If I had even one room, I would put all you traveling smilers in it, but I have no room in the inn.
Sing to the innkeeper, children. Show the innkeeper how much we need a room.
Half a verse, and they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But based upon that little segment, centuries of character assassination have hung. The unnamed innkeeper of Bethlehem is assumed by most to be a cold, heartless person who left the family out in the freezing air. The Bible tells us that there was no room for them in the inn. Is a crowded inn any place for a young girl to give birth to a baby? And would it be right for the innkeeper to send another guest out into a cold just to accommodate these latecomers? Homes and public inns were very different from our modern Holiday Inn, Best Western, and Hilton Hotel experiences. Simple and clean, an inn may have been an upper room with animals housed on the lower room. The Bible doesn't say that Mary and Joseph stayed in a barn. It just says that Jesus was laid in a manger. Could it have been that they were given a private area where family and animals and guests stayed, and a manger might have just been handy? Maybe instead of accusing the innkeeper as a heartless person, we should commend him as a resourceful person who tried to use what was at hand to help this refugee family in a difficult situation. He gave what he had, including a manger. Could it have been that we were wrong about the Bethlehem innkeeper all these years?
I am here to set the record straight. People who have heard the story have begun to talk. They say I was cruel and unfeeling, but they don't know the whole story. Here comes trouble. Shalom, innkeeper. You are just the person I was hoping to meet this fine evening. We trust all is well in your inn. Shalom, stranger. Yes, business is good. I assume you are here to register for the census like all the others. The signing of names is taking place way down the village path. Just turn left and you will see the Roman soldiers.
Wait.
I bid you a good evening.
Wait, we are in need of a place to stay for the night. We have walked many miles and Mary's about to give birth. She needs a place to rest and I need some sleep. I have the price of the room in my coat pocket. Point us in the right direction of the room and we will not bother you until morning meal.
You appear to be a gracious host. We will only see the night and will be no trouble. A small room will be fine for such a short stay.
What is the child due? I do not want to cause her any distress, but I have unhappy news. There is no room in the inn.
No room in the inn?
No room in the inn? Now, calm down. Hush your voices. Do you want everyone to hear? I'm sure there's an inn just as nice down the road.
You don't understand. We need a room.
We really need a room right now.
Right now? As in the baby is coming right now?
Yes, right now. Give us a room.
She's a little upset. Please excuse her for being impatient.
Joseph, I'm usually very patient, but I need a room right now.
I get it. Let me think. I don't have any rooms, but I do have an empty corner where we keep the animals. My staff just loaded fresh hay into the spot today. We could push the animals to one side and you could...
We'll take it.
We'll take it?
Joseph, pay the man now. We'll take it.
I'm sorry I cannot offer you more. I will bring fresh bedding and a hot meal right away.
Will it be just the two of you for the night?
Yes, two, and possibly three by the morning.
Oh my goodness, what trouble have I gotten myself into this time?
And this is where our story gets good. You all know what happens next. Heaven touched earth, and for a moment in time, a baby boy is born in Bethlehem. Nothing unusual about the birth. Lots of baby boys are born every day. However, this child is God's son, born in a manger. And it started in, of all places, Bethlehem. On that cold, clear night in an inn filled with many travelers who had come to the city of David just to register for Caesar's tax. In Bethlehem, when a woman was with child, it was common for the gossips to whisper, "Is this the child who will be our Messiah?" Everyone knew that God promised Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Men of God had prophesied this long ago. Every new baby was greeted with awe and wonder. Most probably, the sight of a very pregnant woman scared the innkeeper. It was probably too much to take, much less invite them into the inn. Let someone else worry about all that birthing stuff. There was just too much going on to take the time to care. There were other places of lodging in Bethlehem, but this night was different. With Bethlehem bursting at the seams with travelers, it would be impossible for the couple to find rest and shelter anywhere. Judging by the look on the girl's face, she only had a few moments to spare before her baby came. And come he did. He burst into the world with a lusty wail. Joseph scooped him up and wrapped him in soft clothes. He laid him in the nearby manger. And then there was a procession of visitors as we have never seen before or since in Bethlehem. Come, watch and see.
Look, angels! Not only is the innkeeper an important part of the Jesus story, but also the angels who came from heaven to make an important announcement. When heaven touched earth, the good news was, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Look, we're here. There's no window since Cindy's it. Jesus has been born.
Does anyone on earth know God's son has arrived?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
I doubt it. I didn't tell anyone, did you?
No, I was waiting for you to say something.
Who can we tell?
Who can we tell? I have to tell somebody.
Let's tell God. He'll know what he wants us to say.
I know what to say. Glory to God and the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men.
And then we'll all praise God.
That's good. We can all do it together. Let's do it. Glory to God and the highest and on earth. Good. Good toward men.
Don't listen to us.
find in here. You have not paid one shekel to enter my inn. Don't you know a baby has just been born? This is not a show for nosy shepherds. Out! Out!
We are the Bethlehem shepherds. We have important news for Mary and Joseph.
Let us worship the King, God's Messiah, and then we will leave.
You won't believe it. We saw angels, angels from heaven.
Yeah, right. You saw angels. Wait until I talk to my staff. Have they ever let you crazy people in here? I'll never know.
Please, innkeeper, let them speak. Look at their faces. They are glowing. Something happened, and Joseph and I need to hear it.
If there's a cost to their visit, we will pay. Shepherds, tell us what you saw. What happened?
It was a beautiful night. We were gathering around the fire, eating dinner, and watching the star hanging low over Bethlehem. Can you see it now?
I made my famous shepherd pie. Have you ever had it? First, you start with...
Yeah, we know. You start with potatoes. Hurry up and tell your so-called story. Then you're out of here.
Shepherd pie. I'm a little hungry. Did you bring any with you?
As a matter of fact, we did.
Joseph, not now. Shepherds, have you seen Jesus? This is the baby God promised.
He's beautiful. If you look carefully, he looks like a king.
Ooh.
Ah. Ooh and ah, all you want. They won't believe your story. No one believes shepherds anymore. Liars, thieves, low-class guys whose only job is to watch sheep.
Hey, they can hear you. You might be surprised that we will believe what happened.
We saw angels, thousands of angels. They covered the sky and the hills and the valleys. They were bright and beautiful.
And they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth goodwill toward men." It was the most glorious choir we ever heard. We were in awe.
Don't forget the angel, boss. There is one beautiful angel who gave us a message. We can't wait to tell everyone we meet.
Yeah, we know. Angels, glory, bright light. Give us the scoop. What's their message?
The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
We left our sheep on a hill to come and search for the Savior. Here he is in a stable, in a manger.
Indeed, this is Jesus. An angel told me he would be born. Thank God Joseph believed me when I told him an angel visited me. You, dear shepherds, have confirmed God's plan is in motion.
And we were to name him Jesus because he was to save his people, the Messiah. God's promise is right here. Thank you, shepherds. Hang around a while. Bring out your shepherd pie and we'll celebrate this amazing night.
We will stay for a while to praise God with you. Then we have to run. You know, sheep in a field, people who have to hear the Messiah has just been born.
Just enough. You're all I want.
A lullaby for my sweet baby to help you sleep through the night. My lullaby for my sweet baby.
could this be true? God's promised Messiah born right here in my inn? No. These are just nasty field shepherds. How would they know the words of God Almighty? Angels, right. This cannot be true. Look at that baby. He looks like every other baby born in Bethlehem. Savior? No way. If this was God's Messiah, he would be born as a king in a palace. Horsemen would announce his birth throughout the land. I have been an innkeeper for a very long time. You can't pull the wool over my eyes. I know the truth when I see it. And this baby is just a baby. Now I wonder if there's any of that shepherd pie left. Those shepherds are really great cooks.
We have followed a star all the way from a far place in the east. It has been a long journey filled with many dangers. We have come in search of the king. We carry gifts for the king.
Is there a king here? Any king? If you're a king, please speak up.
Welcome to my humble inn. No kings here. Look around, we have a poor couple.
Hey, I work hard, I earn money.
You don't have to be rude.
I'm proud of you, dear. You do the best you can.
We have low-class shepherds that they left their sheep to come to my stable. Some would say that's just not being responsible. Poor things probably bawling and crying by now. Shouldn't we be getting back pretty soon?
Hey, we're starting to get offended here. We're good guys.
Did you all forget someone? Look around and you will find a king in the very middle of your stable.
He's a Jewish baby like all the rest born in Bethlehem.
He is more than just a simple Jewish boy. We have come from the east to worship the king. God guided us with a very bright star.
It was so bright, we never saw anything like it. It was literally screaming, following me.
I bring a valuable gift for the baby king, the gift of gold. Use it wisely, use it as God intends.
Gold? On second thought, I might be a king. I remember a story my grandfather told me one night.
Don't even go to the innkeeper. We are worshiping the baby in the manger, the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I bring a fragrant gift of frankincense, usually given to priests. The baby Jesus will be our high priest. Use my gift well as God intends.
I bring yet another gift. My gift is myrrh. It is strange to give a child. Myrrh is usually given to someone when they are going to die. This king will give his very life to be the savior of the world. Let us worship God's greatest gift to the people he lovingly created.
I could have been a king. I feel like a king. Look at this collection of people in my stable. Poor, lowly, wealthy, wise. Could it be that God has visited this place on this night in my tiny Bethlehem village? The prophets foretold, unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And so the world got its Savior, its King, its Messiah. That night, as you can see, was filled with God's glory. No doubt Bethlehem was filled with people coming and going, eating and drinking, sleeping and waking. It may have seemed to everybody else that nothing special was happening, but for a few chosen people, the world tilted as heaven touched earth and Jesus arrived, and the world became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. I wonder how the rest of their lives were affected by that night. We know that Mary and Joseph ran for their lives. King Herod was angry and murderous. He was on the hunt for the little king who threatened his power. They lived in Egypt with little Jesus until it was safe to return to Nazareth, where Jesus grew in stature and wisdom. The shepherds told everyone they met about this good news. God's Messiah has come. Eventually, they too returned to their normal life among the sheep. Can you imagine the stories they told around the late night campfires? Angels running to Bethlehem, the inn, the stable, the baby boy. Their lives changed forever. The wise men were told, return home by a different route. You see, they were truly wise, and after being warned in a dream of his treachery, even the clever King Herod could not fool them into believing he wanted to worship the baby king. One can only imagine what they told the people in the east. Did they proclaim that the God of Israel had indeed made himself known, and that they followed the amazing star to see it for themselves? Did they confess to leaving behind expensive gifts at the cradle of a king? We'll probably never know.
forget me. I was changed the night Jesus was born, too. People blame me for not having a room in the inn, but I made a place for Jesus. I offered a humble stable, clean hay, and a wooden manger for a baby king. I wish it had been more, but I gave what I had. Who am I? I am you. Every time you find a way to care for someone in need, to share what little you have, to make some small difference. I am you. When the problem seems overwhelming, but somehow you find a way and let God in. I hope you see yourself in me. Mary and Joseph left my inn after a while, and I never saw them again. Rumor has it they escaped the wicked leaders by living in Egypt, where Moses and the Israelites found refuge for several generations. What I do know is that something happened to me that night. I stopped caring about being the innkeeper to the stars and became the innkeeper who worships the one born under the star. I stopped trying to turn every event into a way for me to make money and started looking for ways to make a difference. I stopped trying to use people and let God use me. God will use you too. Maybe God already is.
Look, we're getting a glimpse of God's glory. It's Bethlehem, the night Jesus was born.
Who knew God would let us see what God's doing in heaven on earth?
We can catch the light of the star if we look above the manger.
The people look pretty ordinary to me. They look like us. Will heaven ever look brighter than this night?
This story leaves us with hope for what is to come. Maybe if we can find the sense of awe and surprise that the shepherds felt that night, we will find the light, the love, the peace that God sent to us in Jesus.
Cared about people this much. We live and work and die. We live and work and die on this planet with a daily life that seems common and ordinary. Heaven never seems to touch earth in our daily lives.
Look at that baby, so pure, so innocent. Every year we celebrate a birthday, but we don't really get why God did this.
This story has all the expected characters, like angels, shepherds, and kings. All these people from long ago, sometimes it's hard to see ourselves in the story.
So we hide the real story of Bethlehem and beyond behind tradition. Wonderful tradition, to be sure, like the gifts and feasts, the lights and trees, and the gatherings and travelings.
But today, let's focus on a gift of a child. It is a reminder to us that year after year, that
that beyond a bed in the town of Bethlehem is more and much more.
Beyond Bethlehem, God wasn't too important to come to us. God dwelt amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ.
As we leave this stage, look one more time through the eyes of our young people at what it might have looked like in an overcrowded common inn in Bethlehem on a night where no one else is paying attention. God came to earth in a form of a baby, and we will never be the same.
Are you seeing beyond the baby bed and the little town of Bethlehem? It got a little crowded in my inn. Animal sheds aren't designed for a large amount of foot traffic. It was too noisy for a newborn baby. Somehow, we all got through it. Look at that manger. It's pretty simple to make. I do it all the time. Look at those tired parents. They need a good sleep. Why don't all those other people just leave? Don't they have homes of their own? I never did benefit from the notoriety of having a baby king born here. Jesus kind of slipped off everyone's radar for what? 30 years? 33 years? Something like that. I got some mileage for telling the story about the crazy couple who rented my animal shed and the other visitors, and the angels and the weird star that never seemed to stop shining, but I mostly told it to friends. Then, just as I'm about to retire, someone tells me of this hippie preacher in Jerusalem who got in trouble with the Romans. I say, hey, I think I know that guy. I think he was born in my shed. And then, well, you know what happened to him? Well, I sold my inn to my nephew and retired to Joppa. By the time Jesus became really famous, I was out of the game. And then my nephew sold the inn. And they put that church there. You know the one. Church of the Nativity. It's nice. I like the inn better, of course.
To be a kid at Christmas, when everybody gets to be a kid. It's great to get a gift at Christmas, but the greatest gift there ever was is a baby in a manger. The hope for all the world.
Greatest gift of all. I know, I'm wicked boring after that. Huge thanks to everybody who made the pageant happen. As a faith community, we know there is power in bringing our hearts together in prayer. And so on this day, on this Sunday, we do that. We share our joys and concerns, lifting them up to God in prayer. Folks in person, you'll be able to share your joys and concerns aloud. All are welcome to send their prayer concerns to prayers@fccnatick. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys this morning. What joys do you bring to this place today? Dee Dee. This congregation had an important impact on the life of a young man named Victor, and he ended up enlisting in the Marines. He has finished his time in the Marines successfully. He has a job, he has an apartment, he has a roommate. He is adulting. And as part of that, this congregation is part of that, and we share that joy. Thanks, Dee Dee. Jeanette. Jeanette is lifting up the joy of the young talent and joie de vivre that we have in our sanctuary this morning and everybody who helped to make it happen. Lane, do you have any joys up there? Joy of the breakfast that we had this morning, which you thanks to Judy and the welcome team for putting that on. Thanks also for Gail and everybody who participated in the Living Creche yesterday. That was a great time out front. What concerns do you bring to this place today? I have a few, but who am I? Yeah, Beth. So we are holding in our prayers Debbie, who has just entered hospice. We are also holding in our prayers her husband, Dan, and they have a 15-year-old. And Graham, is that the name? Maria. So we hold them in our prayers, knowing that hospice can do just an amazing job supporting families, and we trust that that will be true now. Thanks, Beth. So Lorraine O is in the hospital following some swelling in her legs, so we're holding Lorraine in our prayers. Also, Anna H. fell, and she's very weak right now, so she's in rehab in Wellesley, so we're holding Anna in our prayers as well. Sarah Lynn.
My mom's cousin Donnie is in the ICU in Florida. Our family is.
We are holding in prayer. It's your mom's cousin. Yes. Okay, so Donnie, this is a woman who's in ICU in Florida, so holding in our prayers Sarah Lynn's mom's cousin. Also holding in our prayers today, Amy and Kenneth, first for the death of Amy's uncle, Bill. Bill's the brother of Amy's mom who's with us today. And then also Kenneth's dad died this past week in DC. And this is after a fall of a lot of loss. So we are holding Amy and Kenneth and the whole family in our prayers. Lane, do you have any concerns up there? Let us come together in prayer. Linda. We continue to hold Miriam's brother Alex in our prayers, as well as all of her family in Chile. Let us come together in prayer. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpses we catch of your gift of peace on earth. Even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle, even when we aren't sure that justice and compassion among us can be found, ignite the flame of peace within us, that we might grow with its brilliance and glow from the inside out. And may your peace go to those who we've lifted in prayer today and help us to be the peace they need, the same peace shown to us by Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a joy it has been to have the kids leading us in worship this morning, and all the adults who helped make it possible. I have never loved a pageant so much as seeing the adults that were participating in it this morning. That was fabulous. One of the biggest gifts of FCC Natick is how many adults are involved in ministry with children and youth. Playing with kids in the nursery right now, storytelling in godly play, facilitating our whole lives, sexual education, joining in for work camps and youth groups and pilgrimage, and the Christmas pageant. What really amazes me is how many of those amazing adults don't even have children in the program. Maybe they did years ago, but now their kids are grown and still they work with the next generation. This is one of the most important ways that this congregation carries out the love and welcome of Christ, caring for, nurturing, and supporting other people's children. Now, let's be honest, a big part of why they do that is because of the passion, skill, and leadership of FCCN's Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care, Sarah Lynn Keller. I am so grateful to have Sarah Lynn as a colleague and a leader in this congregation for everything she does for all of us, but most especially for the children and youth of this church. And so as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we do so with gratitude for our kids and for our faith formation program, and with great gratitude for all of our volunteers and the leadership of Sarah Lynn. God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially those who have given them, that they might see the ways in which they are your light in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 160, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and There Better Be Swaying. A beautiful postlude for us, but we're also, there's cookies downstairs, so we're going to let the kids head down to get cookies, those who are able to go, so we're going to take their stuff off. But beloved, there will be peace only if we, I didn't mean you leave yet, there will be peace only if you make peace, there will be joy only if we practice joy, there will be love only if we are love. There will be hope only if we hold hope. So let the joy, the love, the hope, and the peace, and everybody else go forth. Amen.